Welcome back to the Stoppage Time podcast with myself, Ethan Morland. I've been away. Been away for a little bit because I was moving apartments and I invested in a shitty mic, didn't like it. So I decided, you know what, it's time to invest in a very, very good one, in the Rode Pod mic. And here we are. So it's been a couple of weeks, but we are back and we are thriving. Although the only problem is, it's the international break. Who wants an international break? Absolutely nobody. But we're going to get into it, as that is what is relevant to now in the footballing world. You know, I think, well, there's a bit of controversy surrounding the England squad that's being picked for this round of fixtures in the lead up to the World Cup, with Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw making the team, which, you know, the problem is with that is there's no one else who you could pick, really. We don't have that good a depth at that level at centre back and at left back whereby we can be picking other players, you know. Obviously, there'll be a few young lads who could be making the way towards selection, but not yet. There's no standout performers at centre back and left back, so I'm not fully against the decision. What I will be fully against is if Maguire and Shaw play in the Italy game or even the Germany game. I will really struggle with that one, because then you can really see Southgate's bias. They've both had a really shit start to the season. They've played less than half the games for United so far, and most of the games he played in, they were the embarrassing ones against Brighton and Brentford. So it really shows the bias is there from Gareth Southgate in the team. But what we have seen is call-ups for Ivan Toney and Eric Dier is back in the squad. Now, Ivan Toney has deserved this call-up since probably midway through last season, because he's really, really, he's really flourished in the Premier League, I think. But as time's gone on, he's just got better and better, which is really, really good to see from an English striker. And then I think the question of him being in the squad was a bit up in the air until the Leeds game, where he goes and scores that hat-trick. It was a hat-trick of absolute bangers as well. I think that just really solidified his position in the squad, and I'm pleased for him, I can't lie. I really rate him in the Premier League. I think he's going to add squad depth in behind Tammy Abraham, Harry Kane up front. I think it's really going to help us in the build-up to the World Cup, because now we have got three striking options. Obviously, there's Marcus Rashford, who could be in there, who could be in that selection. But as of up to now, the past year for Marcus Rashford hasn't been good enough. So we can't be saying, yes, he should be in the England squad, he should be in the World Cup squad. I think Marcus Rashford will make it into the World Cup squad. But right now, I can't see off of a couple of games why he should be in that squad. And the same goes for Jadon Sancho. You know, his last year at United has been shit, really. It's been appalling to watch. So I really think they need to put in a very good couple of months in the build-up to the World Cup, and they'll get the place, which, you know, it'll be good if they can get back in, but if they don't, I'm not against that decision, because they have been shit for the past year, minimum. But yeah, so Eric Dier's back in the squad. Now, this is a funny one, because I think a year ago, if we'd seen this with Eric Dier, we'd have all been like, why is he there? Who's thought of this? Who's thought of putting him back in the squad? But under Conte, he's done really, really well. He's actually performed really well under Conte. I think he's brought the best out in him, and He's a good backup for that squad. I think, you know, having centre backs like Tomori, Stones, Maguire, Shaw. I think he's a good backup to have in there. Obviously, I don't think he's a starter, but the thing is for us is we're building squad depth, and it's something we haven't really had over the years at the international level, whereby players are playing at the top of the game and we can take our pick between a few, like, you know, there's like three We have it at the right back position, obviously with Kyle Walker, Trippier, James, Alexander-Arnold. We have the depth there, but anywhere else really, we kind of struggle for the depth, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's good to see him back in the squad, and he's actually doing really well at Tottenham. So I can't fault that sort of decision from Southgate. But we play Italy tonight, or for me tomorrow morning, which. This is the Nations League. I've really not liked. I thought it's just added extra games for players, whereby they are playing too much. They're unnecessary. It's a competition, but it's a shit competition. Like, none of the players really look like they take it seriously. It just looks like it's a kickabout, and there's not much we should really take from it in terms of during a normal season, but. What I like about these two games England have to play this weekend is it's against teams that we will likely come up against at the World Cup. You know, like, well, the quality of teams, obviously Italy aren't there, which, you know, is quite funny. But like that quality of team, like Italy and Germany, we are likely to come up against at the World Cup, and it's. You know, I think it's going to be a good test to see where the squads are, and I think it's going to be a good test of formations, seeing what works, what doesn't, and I think this is where Gareth Southgate's really going to solidify his decision on who he takes with him on that plane to Qatar. I think what the problem is players now don't. You see a lot of them lose motivation, and I think a lot of them do really lose motivation for these Nation League games. Like, we've seen the likes of Kevin De Bruyne come out and go, what, like, basically saying, what is the point of them? We don't understand it. And we're going up against an Italy team that have, in recent years, done very, very well, although they aren't going to the World Cup, which was a massive, massive shock. I think we need the lads to really put in a shift in these games, because we want to see what we have there, whether we are capable of actually going to a World Cup, causing problems and potentially coming away with it. It's a tough one. Obviously, Germany is going to be the big, big test, because they are going to the World Cup. And I'm kind of nervous to see how this squad is going to do against the Germany now. Like, obviously, there's been a lot of change since the Euro squad that we had. But players have also developed, like, Saka has developed massively. I think he's going to play a big role in that sort of in behind the striker, which I'm going to get into my squad for the first game of the World Cup in this podcast. I think the likes of Saka really, really doing well. Bellingham's obviously developing massively. He's going to be a staple in the squad in that midfield. We've obviously, like I said, we've got the squad depth at right back, which is going to be really, really interesting to see who he picks. And I really, really hope it's not Alexander-Arnold, because he has been like dog shit all year. It's been tough to watch as a Liverpool fan. And then obviously we've got, there's a few positions where we do struggle, like left back. Like the options we got is obviously Trippier can play in there. Chilwell, who's been out for a while, but he's coming back. And then obviously Luke Shaw, who's, as we know, has been god awful the start to the season. But I think against Italy, we're either going to see one of two things. We're going to see a kickabout, which is going to be boring as shit to watch, or we're going to see Italy come at us because they're wanting to prove that they are World Cup quality and they should be at the World Cup. So it could go one of two ways, but it's going to be interesting this weekend to see the results. But, you know, there's other Nation Leagues games which could be interesting to watch. Like, I think the Scotland Ireland one's going to be a good one to watch on Saturday night. You know, Czech Republic, Portugal, it's going to be good to see how Portugal are preparing for the World Cup. There's a few decent ones coming up in this round of Nations League fixtures, but it's always hard to tell how teams are going to do in these sorts of games, whether they care or whether they don't. Oh, and also Portugal, Spain. I didn't know that game was happening, but that's going to be a good one to watch as well. So yeah, Netherlands, Belgium as well, Denmark, France. Some exciting ones in there to watch. So yeah, I'm going to keep my eye out on them. I'll probably do a roundup at the end of the Nations League on Wednesday. Obviously, they all finish Tuesday night. And then we're back into the Premier League. Come on, boys. And then, yeah, probably do a roundup of all that and sort of go from there. But, yeah, because this is international break and because we are in a build-up to the World Cup, I'm going to give my squad for the first game of the World Cup. Probably, there's probably going to be a bit of a controversial one here and there. But this is why, this is my team that I've gone for. I've gone for a 4-2-3-1. And it's, yeah, in net, I've gone with Ramsdale. I've gone with Ramsdale over Pickford because if you're going off performances of the past year, I would say Ramsdale all day has outperformed Pickford by a mile. Yes, Pickford has had the odd good game. Like, he had a very good game towards the end of last season against Chelsea. He had a good game. Oh, who was it against? Oh, Liverpool. Yeah, he had a good game against Liverpool. But for me, he's too inconsistent. Whereas, you know, like, I'd say it'd be Ramsdale first pick, Pope second, Pickford third. Dean Henderson wouldn't get in the squad. I think Pope and Ramsdale have both been very, very consistent. But for me, Ramsdale sort of pips out Pope to that first spot because he's been playing at a decent level with a club for, you know, the past year and a bit, whereas Pope was obviously in a relegation battle. But yeah, I think because of the way it is, it will be picked on sort of not just how you play, but who you're playing for, how your team's getting on. And I think it's going to be Ramsdale for me. He's just the more consistent keeper of the lot. You know, I think he's really, really good with his distribution, his positioning of where he should be. I think he's at the top there out of those keepers. And Henderson, I don't think, obviously he's had sort of a year off at United where they've just not played him. And from what I've seen of him at Forest so far, he's not international quality for me. Doesn't make it into the squad. Now, at centre-back, I've gone with Tomori and Stones. And the reason I've picked them two is, unpopular opinion, John Stones is one of the most underrated centre-backs in the world right now. I think he is top quality. He's just under Pep. He has really flourished. And this year so far, I think we've seen the best of him. And I think he's really, really good in terms of, you know, managing what he's doing with the ball, managing his distribution, where he should be. He's getting up for headers. You know, he's really, really doing a job at centre-back for City. And he's becoming, like, he was always in and out of the squad at City over the past few years. But now it feels like he's more of a set in stone. He's on the team sheet week in, week out. And it's good to see. And then Tomori, it would be really, really frustrating if we saw Maguire in over Tomori in that starting 11 because Tomori has played nearly every game for AC Milan when they won the Scudetto last season. And it's tough to go to another country to learn a new language, to learn a new culture, to learn a new style of play and do it as well as he did. That lad deserves to be one of the first names on that team sheet week in, week out. And I really think it would be a really, really bad decision from Southgate if Tomori was not in that starting 11. He's very consistent. He's a good ball winner. You know, he leads the back line. He's a very, very good professional for me. He's not overly abusive or loud. Like he's a man who gets a job done, and he's the kind of centre back that I like to watch play football. Now the big one at right back, where we've got so many players who could fit in that right back position, but I've gone with Reece James, and I've gone with Reece James for one reason. Well, a couple of reasons. Firstly, I think Kyle Walker is getting on a bit, and I think he's now struggling to be at the same level that he has been in recent years. He's looking like he's slowing down a little bit. Alexander-Arnold, really, really poor start to the season. He's been very, it's been very, very hard to watch him play football. He just looks lazy. He looks like he's on his way to, obviously he's not, but it's that kind of energy that Dele Alli was giving off when he was at the end of his Tottenham career. Like, that I couldn't give a fuck. Someone else can do it for me. Like, just, there's so many clips that you see online from the Napoli game, from the Everton game, United, where he, you know, he loses the ball and there's no fight to win it back, and he's just jogging back, and or he's ball watching, and he's just like, he looks around like as if to go, whose fault is this, when it's more so his than anyone else's. So I think Alexander-Arnold at this rate, isn't he, shouldn't really be going to the World Cup with his performances this year. It's just been, yeah, his professionalism has been really, really poor. He just looks lazy, like he lacks energy, motivation. I wouldn't pick him. And then Trippier, I think in the England squad, Trippier is more a left-back option than anything. But I think on general performances, I'd go Reece James any day of the week out of any of them, because, you know, he's like, him and Alexander-Arnold play very, very similarly, where they bomb forward to get balls into the box, to get the crosses in, get the assist. They'll obviously have a go on goal every now and then. But also, Reece James still has the work rate. He still has the work rate where he's running back, getting back, making sure he's there with the back. Well, obviously at Chelsea, it's been a back five, but he's making sure he's getting it up and down the wing as much as he can. He's getting tackles in. He's really showing his work rate. And I think that's why, for me, he pips any of those other three to that right-back position. So onto left-back, we've got Ben Chilwell. So for me, Ben Chilwell takes this one because only on the basis of Luke Shaw's form recently. I think we do need like an out and out left back, not like Trippier. Yeah, could do a job there, but he's not an out and out left back. He's a right back. So for me, Chilwell takes that role all day because Luke Shaw is like Alexander Arnold. Looks like he lacks motivation. He looks unfit, to be honest. He just doesn't look like he's enjoying himself, and his work rate over the past year has been pretty poor at United. So I don't think he should be in that starting 11. And yes, Chilwell's been out injured, but from, you know, the appearances we've seen of him at Chelsea, he's looking like he's really pushing to get back into that squad week in, week out to be starting. Obviously, it's been made difficult with Cucurella coming into Chelsea, but I think he's a much better player than Cucurella and should be playing week in, week out. It's just getting back from injury and enjoying his football again. And I think he's going to get there just in time for the World Cup, which is why he starts for me. And then I've gone in front of the defence, I've gone for two in front. So for me, that is going to be Declan Rice. I think Declan Rice is always a staple. He's a leader in the midfield. He, you know, captain at West Ham. He's a young lad, but he's passionate and he shows it in the way he plays football. He gets forward, he gets tackles in. He's everywhere on the pitch. And that's what we want to see in midfield. And that's why I've then put him alongside Jude Bellingham, because he shows sort of similar traits. But Jude Bellingham also has that ability to get forward and get a goal. Like, he can score some bangers. And Jude Bellingham's creativity paired with Rice's leadership, I think that's really, really going to push us on to be, you know, fighting for wins, getting to where we want to get. And I think in the group that we got, with Wales, the US and Iran, I don't think really we should be losing a game. The toughest game in that is probably going to be Wales out of anyone. For me, I just think we should be winning every game. There shouldn't even be a question about it. But what we seem to have lacked at previous World Cups is that passion and drive in the midfield. Like, yes, on paper, that's what there is, but it just hasn't looked like it. Whereas with Declan Rice, he really, really shows it, no matter what the game, no matter what the circumstance. And then Jude Bellingham as well is like one of the best midfield prospects in the world. Like, he looks like a 28-year-old prime midfielder, and he should be on that team sheet no matter what. If there's anyone you could pick to be on that team sheet, every time England play, it should be him. Always. And then, yeah, I've gone in front of that, a sort of a three in behind the striker. So on the left, I've gone Sterling. Sterling for England always does a job. He's always consistent. He's always getting goals. He's getting in behind the defence, but he's also getting crosses in, which is good to see. So I think he's always going to be a staple there. On the right, I've gone with Saka. I think over the past year and a bit, we've seen him really, really develop. You know, since the Euros and missing that penalty, I think we've really seen him grow as a player, and he's looking very, he's just very talented for me. And you know, he's quick with his feet, he's quick to get down the line, he can cut inside, get a shot on. He's very creative, which is why I've put him out on the right. And then it, sort of in the middle behind the striker, I've gone with Phil Foden. Yeah, we could have Foden out on a wing, but for me, I think he's so technical and he's so good with the ball at his feet. He's better off that guy in behind the striker who can play that through ball into him. You know, who can back him up, because he seems very, very good in that central attacking midfield role for me. And yeah, I just think his quality is what we need in behind that main striker. And then now, so the final one. Now, this is a bit of a controversial one, because I've gone with Harry Kane or Tammy Abraham. And the reason I've done this is because it's... So Kane has been... You know, he's coming back to form after last season, but I still don't think he's at his very best as to what he has been. And for me, Tammy Abraham is on this list because he has done similar to Tomori, where he's left his boyhood club, which is a very hard decision to make. So you'll go into a completely different culture, but his confidence levels are through the roof. Like, to go under Jose Mourinho, who's obviously gone to him, you're going to be my main man up top, and I want you to prove why you are my main man up top. It's Tammy Abraham is going to, he's going to do bits, and as years go on, I think he's just going to get better and better, which for me, this season, you know, you look at him and his pairings with Paulo Dybala, like they've got a few goals and assists between them in their opening few games for Roma, and the look, he's looking very, very good, looking like he's really enjoying that partnership. And I think based off of this season alone, because I have watched a few of the Roma games, I would really go off, I would go for Tammy Abraham based off recent form. But if you're going off the leadership qualities, going off the, you know, the goal scoring presence, it's obviously got to be Harry Kane. But yeah, if it's recent form, it's going to be Tammy Abraham for me, because yes, Kane has been good in the Prem, but I think with all the circumstances surrounding Tammy Abraham in Italy, I think he tops out Kane there. Yeah, so it's a, for me, I think that's the squad to start the World Cup. There obviously might be changes, like we might see Marcus Rashford just do up and Sancho do bits for United, which could push them into the squad. You know, we might see someone else come in at, like, you know, we might see Jack Grealish have a good few months and he might get in there, but I just feel like that's highly unlikely at this point. He just looks like another man in a pep machine that's just sort of keeping the wheels moving. And then, yeah, I've put one more segment into this podcast, which is a wild card. And I think the wild card is one player who should be in the World Cup squad. Well, shouldn't be in the World Cup squad, but could prove to be a good decision. And for me, that is Harvey Elliott of Liverpool. I think Harvey Elliott is an absolute baller at Liverpool. He's, you know, he's come into this squad like one of the best in the world. And we saw it obviously last season, whereby he was looking very, very good, looking very talented, and then got injured. Bad, bad injury. You know, he was out for, I think, was it 9 months? Dislocated, fractured ankle. Horrible injury to get at that age. He's 19. And so obviously to get that 18, it could be career defining. But he's come through that, got back, worked his way back into that Liverpool squad, which shows his work ethic is through the roof if he's managing to push through into that Liverpool squad. And he, this season for Liverpool, has probably been one of the better players in terms of he's, you know, he's creating chances or this, that, the other. But you look at the way he is with the players and the crowd, he's constantly like asking for more. He's screaming at the fans to be chanting, to be singing more. His passion for the game is, you know, it's nearly unmatched. And for me, Harvey Elliott is, and he's one of those, he's very, very creative. And I think if you put him in that England squad, he could do a really, really good job for us. And that is why I put him in as my sort of wild card for the squad. I'm not saying he should be playing. I'm saying he should be in the squad. It'd be good for him to get the experience at the World Cup. It'd be very, very good to see him come on, because he is one of those players who can come on and sort of change a game, change a mood of a team. I would really like to see him there. I'd really like to see him doing a job at England. Maybe he doesn't get into this squad, but I think for the next Euros, he is 100% on that list if he stays injury free. It's one of those where it could happen, it could not happen. But I'm hopeful we do well. And yeah, so the next episode is going to be a roundup of the Nations League, looking at how we did against Italy and Germany, more so against Germany, because that is, I think that's more the proving grounds for England and how we're going to do at this World Cup. I'm just hopeful we see a motivated side and Southgate doesn't pick his favourites like he always does, because I think this is a career defining tournament for Southgate. I think because of the way we performed in the Nations League, we're bottom of that group. I think if he does really, really poorly in the World Cup, like we scrape out of the group stages and we, you know, we get knocked out in the next round, I think his career with England's done. He's a great manager, don't get me wrong, but sometimes a manager's favouritism can get in the way of what a good job he can actually do. But yeah, so next episode is going to be a roundup of the Nations League, and then also looking ahead to the weekend's Premier League fixtures next weekend, which I cannot wait for. I am sick of international football when it means nothing. Really am. Well, yeah, thanks for listening. It's good to be back doing the podcast with some better equipment. We are going to YouTube soon. I'm still getting, you know, stuff for my desk. For the sort of my podcast room, I'm still getting the stuff together. So once that's all together, I'll be filming episodes and they'll be going onto YouTube and then also onto social media. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be making a TikTok soon. It'll be good to be back, and thank you very much for listening. It's been me, Ethan Morland, the host of Stoppage Time Podcast. I hope to see you at the next one.